I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Thursday, July 22nd. Quincy City Clerk Nicole Crispo says she's prepared to add 5 new voting precincts to the city, depending on the results of the 2020 federal census. Crispo says the city's population is likely to exceed 100,000 when the census numbers are calculated, meaning the city would need an additional voting precinct in almost every ward. She says by law, a precinct cannot exceed 3,400 people. The federal census numbers are delayed due to the pandemic, causing some controversy as state lawmakers want to redraw district lines before cities and towns do. Here in Quincy, Crispo says there will be no changes in voting precincts for the upcoming city elections this year. However, there may be changes for the state elections next year. Crispo anticipates receiving the federal census data in mid-August. She also anticipates that there will be early voting and mail-in voting for this year's city elections and is still waiting on guidance from the state. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch says he is open to the issue of body cameras for Quincy police officers, but says he wants to talk to the chief and the command staff before making any decisions. The state is providing $20 million in grant money for any community that wants to purchase police body cameras. Koch said that he would be willing to discuss the issue with Chief Paul Keenan because he says the cameras could be beneficial in some cases. Koch also cautions that he doesn't believe there are issues within the Quincy Police Department that require body cameras and says issues of privacy during domestic cases is also important to keep in mind. Communities have until August 30th to apply for those state grants. Norfolk County Register of Deeds Bill O'Donnell is suing the county commissioners over what he says is an inappropriate hiring freeze. O'Donnell says the commissioners are refusing to fund a community information officer in his department, which he calls a critical position to maintain the Registry of Deeds electronic records. O'Donnell says 2 of the 3 commissioners voted against hiring a new community information officer to replace the retiring officer. O'Donnell argues that the position is vital to maintaining the safety and security of Registry of Deeds records. O'Donnell also says the registry generates over $150 million in revenue for Norfolk County. Commissioners Joe Shea and Peter Collins voted against hiring a new community information officer. Richard Stady voted in favor. O'Donnell says he had already offered the job to an applicant and that the position has been funded for over 20 years. He says the position protects the registry from cyber attacks. Massachusetts health officials now say 256 confirmed cases of COVID-19 have been linked to a 4th of July holiday cluster in Provincetown. The state says 190 of the cases are Massachusetts residents, with 109 of them residing in Barnstable County. Previously, the DPH reported 132 positive COVID cases associated with the Provincetown cluster. Provincetown officials and health officials became aware of an outbreak which involved many breakthrough cases following the 4th of July holiday. The town at the tip of Cape Cod has a year-round population of about 3,000 people, but that number swells to 60,000 in the summer. On Tuesday, the Boston Public Health Commission said at least 35 cases in Boston residents were traced back to Provincetown, adding that the overwhelming majority of the patients were fully vaccinated. The city's health commission issued new guidance to all Boston residents who traveled to P-Town so far during the month of July, and until further notice, they're telling anyone who visited since July 1st to get tested at least 5 days after returning, regardless of vaccination status or symptoms. Boston health officials are also asking visitors to self-isolate and avoid groups or gatherings for at least 5 days and until they receive a negative COVID-19 test, regardless of vaccination status. A Provincetown public health advisory urges everyone to get vaccinated, isolate, and get tested if they experience symptoms. It also urges venues to enforce vaccine verification. It suggests everyone wear masks indoors when social distancing cannot be achieved. A popular summer destination is advising all residents and visitors to wear face coverings while indoors and at public locations, regardless of COVID-19 vaccination status. The island of Nantucket made the announcement last night. Health officials said the decision to issue a new face mask advisory was made as a result of the increasing number of COVID cases across the Cape and Islands. The greatest risks of infection from the Delta variant also played a role in the decision. Officials say that prolonged exposure to COVID indoors and at high concentrations is likely the cause of vaccinated individuals becoming infected. More than 5,000 breakthrough infections have been reported across the states, but the rate of fully vaccinated people ending up in the hospital is still low. A total of 5,166 breakthrough cases have been reported through July 17th, resulting in 80 deaths. A week ago, there were over 4,400 cases and 79 deaths reported among fully vaccinated people. Only 0.1% of the more than 4.3 million fully vaccinated population in Massachusetts has tested positive, and an overwhelming majority of those have not had to be hospitalized. There have been 329 total hospitalizations for patients with breakthrough cases. Massachusetts has seen an uptick, and it's believed the highly contagious Delta variant is responsible. Dr. Paul Sachs, clinical director of infectious disease at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, says that the cases have been milder in fully vaccinated people, which demonstrates the vaccines are working. Dr. Ellison said the more people who get vaccinated, the better, because beating COVID is a numbers game. A clerk magistrate determining that there is probable cause to charge retired state trooper James Coughlin and his wife with reckless endangerment and serving alcohol to minors after a teenager drowned at their home last month. 17-year-old Alonzo Polk died days after he was pulled from a pool during a graduation party at the Coughlin's home on Netta Road on July 6th. Polk had just graduated from Dedham High School hours earlier. Police filed a criminal complaint against Coughlin and his wife Leslie because they hosted the party. The misdemeanor charges include giving alcohol to people under 21 and reckless endangerment of a child. At a hearing in Dedham District Court yesterday morning, police testified there was underage drinking at the party with beer cans scattered throughout the Coughlin's yard. The couple's attorney, Brian Kelly, said Polk was not known as a drinker and was seen drinking water. Kelly said the teen was thrown into the pool by a friend who didn't know Polk couldn't swim. The clerk magistrate determined there was enough evidence to go forward with charges against the Coughlins, but did not set an arraignment date. The DA's office is also looking into Polk's death. As the nation prepares for the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks, a Milton man is honoring the flight attendants on board the hijacked planes. Polly Venito is planning on pushing a beverage cart from Logan Airport to Ground Zero in New York to honor the crew members. For 2 months before 9/11, Venito worked on Flight 175 and worked side by side with some of the victims. The horrors of that day started a nearly 15-year battle with opiate addiction that almost ended his life. 62-year-old Venito is using his more than 200-mile journey to raise money for the victims' families and their foundations and to collect donations for those struggling with addiction. He said his main goal is to pay tribute to the flight attendants who showed unbelievable strength and courage under the worst conditions. Venito will start his journey on August 21st. Well, this time of year, the clubs and bars around Quincy Market are bustling with activity. So, too, are the criminals, stealing wallets and cell phones from late-night partiers who may be easy targets. But there's been a concerning uptick in these crimes lately, 7 over the past 5 weeks alone. But the president of the Wharf District Council sees the muggings every summer. Others say the increase in muggings is another chapter of the pandemic. But the Boston police say they are concerned enough to take a hard look at the area, especially late at night. There's a push on Beacon Hill to bring back happy hour in Massachusetts, as the state's restaurants and bars have been banned from offering deals on after-work drinks for decades. State Representative Mike Connolly added a provision to a larger piece of legislation that includes long-term support for restaurants following the pandemic. The provision would not legalize happy hour, but would instead bring stakeholders together to revisit the state's ban on post-work drink specials, which has been in place since 1984. A new polling group survey shows 70% of Massachusetts residents are on board with allowing happy hour deals. The advocacy group Mothers Against Drunk Driving says now is the time to lift the happy hour ban, especially with the rise of rideshare services such as Uber and Lyft. Happy hour food specials are currently allowed in Massachusetts. The final language of the entire bill in which Connolly's provision is included has yet to be published, but should be released in the coming days. That legislation also includes outdoor dining provisions. Well, Joe Biden intends to nominate the widow of Senator Ted Kennedy to serve as his ambassador to Austria. The president announced that attorney Vicky Reggie Kennedy is the nominee for ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary to the Republic of Austria. The 67-year-old Victoria is senior counsel in the corporate and securities practice group at Greenberg Taurig, a firm based in Boston and Washington. She's also president of the board and co-founder of the Edward M. Kennedy Institute for the United States Senate, a nonpartisan nonprofit in Boston that educates the public about the U.S. Senate and inspires leadership and active citizenship. Kennedy chairs the Education Committee of the Board of Trustees of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in D.C. and is on the board of other nonprofit and civic organizations. Now, today is the last day for fully vaccinated residents to register for the first Massachusetts Vax Millions giveaway. Massachusetts residents ages 12 and up who are fully vaccinated prior to each drawing are eligible to enter the giveaway. Residents aged 18 and older who are fully vaccinated prior to each drawing will have the opportunity to enter to win one of five $1 million cash prizes. Residents between 12 and 17 who are fully vaccinated prior to each drawing can enter for the chance to win one of five $300,000 scholarship grants. Eligible residents will be able to enter the giveaway at vaxmillionsgiveaway.com. Check of business news this morning. Stocks bounced back yesterday. The Dow was up 286. The NASDAQ rose 133, and the S&P added 35. Asian stocks were lower. The dollar rose. The euro fell. Oil at $66 a barrel. Sports: Red Sox beat the Blue Jays in Toronto 7-4 last night. They're back home tonight at Fenway against the Yankees at 7:10. The National Weather Service forecast for today, mostly sunny and dry with a high 81 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 57. Tomorrow, scattered showers in the afternoon at a high of 80 degrees. Mostly sunny Saturday, a high of 80 degrees, and showers around on Sunday. Again, a high 80 degrees. For the boater, waves about a foot. Light northerly wind becomes southeast later today. The high tide right before 10:30 this morning. Sun rose at 5:27, sets at 8:12. Traffic note, Four River Bridge scheduled to open today at 10 a.m. and Friday at 6 a.m. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Thursday, July 22nd.